From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Julia Stelter in Sioux Falls. Today is Thursday, June 18th, and here are today's stories. Despite ranking South Dakota in the top half of the nation overall for children, a new report suggests the state has room to improve in education. Jackson Dirks reports.
The 2026 kids count is out, and South Dakota placed 38th in the country for education. That's one spot better than last year. The kids count's an annual report released by the Annie E. Casey Foundation that compiles data on children in every state. The report ranks the states accordingly and has been doing so since 1990. According to the report, South Dakota ranked worse in 2024 than in 2019 in three of the four metrics tracked for education. Children aged 3 and 4 not in school increased by 4%. Fourth graders not proficient in reading saw an 8% increase. Eighth graders not proficient in math increased by 6%. The number of high schoolers not graduating on time stayed the same. Numbers for the nation as a whole also got worse from 2024 to 2019, but at different percentages. The report suggests that such declines, quote, underscore that the U.S. has yet to fully recover from the pandemic. South Dakota also ranked in the bottom half of the nation for health. About 8% of children in the state don't have health insurance. The state saw 96 child and teen deaths in 2024. That's three more per 100,000 people from 2019 numbers. However, South Dakota ranked well in other categories. The state was able to improve across four metrics in family and community, ranking 15th nationwide. Fewer children are living in high poverty areas, fewer teen births per 1,000, and 2% fewer children in single-parent families. South Dakota ranked 11th in economic well-being. That's better than 2019. South Dakota's score by the Annie E. Casey Foundation declined since 2019, but the state still ranked in the top half of the nation for overall child well-being, at 22nd. In 2025, the state was ranked 26th. That was lower than all of South Dakota's neighboring states aside from Montana. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
The Bureau of Land Management has issued approval for the contentious Dewey Burdock Uranium Project. The project is proposed for Fall River County, where voters had previously declared uranium mining activities a nuisance in a referendum. This approval is for initial infrastructure of BLM public lands near Edgemont. Importantly, this does not give the project permission to begin mining activities. Prices will increase for low-income housing that's built by South Dakota inmates. The state's Housing Development Authority Board approved higher prices for governor's houses, South Dakota Searchlight reports. The homes are built at Mike Durfee State Prison in Springfield and shipped across the state to eligible buyers. A two-bedroom governor's house increased from $86,000 to $89,000. The board's director says it's mostly due to rising delivery expenses. The board also approved higher income limits for the program. Qualified buyers can now make up to about $103,000 a year, regardless of household size. The City of Sioux Falls is working on green infrastructure projects to help reduce localized flooding and improve water quality. There are two project sites, one on 28th and Covell, and the other on 35th and Duluth. Those are locations that have historically experienced flooding, according to the city's Environmental Services Manager. Troy Lambert is the city's environmental analyst. He says the sites are composed of common native plants with deep roots. This helps water get into the ground and reduce runoff, lowering the risk of flooding. The plants also act as a natural filter and help clean the water before it moves into the Big Sioux River through the storm sewer system. Lambert hopes these projects also educate people in Sioux Falls on water quality. Both sites feature signage explaining the design and purpose.
The utmost purpose of these projects were to give residents an opportunity to see how stormwater management works. By combining functional infrastructure with educational features, we're helping people better understand how everyday actions can affect water quality here in Sioux Falls.
The city says they do not currently have plans to develop more projects, but they hope businesses and developers will consider using similar designs in their developments. State lawmakers are considering ways to find new revenue or tax sources for a specific cause. That's to ensure emergency medical services, or EMS, continue in the state. Jackson Dirks reports.
The EMS Funding Task Force is continuing work from a 2025 legislative summer study that looked at the issue. The current task force is to find sources to fund EMS across the state. It's something that could prove to be a challenge in a fiscally conservative state like South Dakota. Though, for Representative Jana Hunt, who considers herself a fiscal conservative, the issue is bigger than fiscal policy.
I would like to see us quit kicking this can down the road and figure out a way for the state to backfill a need, because this is a priority.
The meeting was largely informational, as members heard from the EMS community. Dan Klimisch is a Yankton County commissioner. Yankton County operates the largest county-run ambulance in the state. He says it's time for the state to fund EMS.
When someone in our state has a heart attack, when a kid can't breathe, when a farmer is injured in the field, we all expect an ambulance to show up and arrive. And that's our expectation. But quite frankly, expectations aren't what funds the ambulance services.
He's one of many who testified on the issue. The task force got an in-depth look at issues EMS are facing. That included issues with insurance not covering costs, not enough funding from Medicaid and Medicare reimbursements, and workforce challenges. The task force heard ideas for funding mechanisms, looking at regionalization as a model, and other solutions. Senator Ernie Otten says failure is not an option for the task force.
2 decades we've been working on this, and the best that we can do is come up with a system that's actually collapsing on us. So that actually puts us into a very strong position to be able to solve a problem. Do I think we will get it 100%? No. Can we get it 80%? I think that's very possible. We can work on the rest into the future.
This task force comes alongside federal dollars that are going toward helping EMS statewide. That's through the Rural Health Transformation Program. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
South Dakota retains its AAA credit rating from S&P Global. That's the highest ranking the credit rating organization gives out. Governor Larry Rodin says the rating is a sign of a strong economy and that the state spends taxpayer dollars wisely. S&P Global ratings are one of the most widely recognized factors for creditworthiness for governments, corporations, and other large organizations. 3 bats have tested positive for rabies at Wind Cave National Park. 2 of the 3 bats were found dead at the elevator building and campground. The 3rd bat was found alive but unable to fly near the visitor center. There are no reports of visitors contacting these animals. The State Department of Health and the National Parks Service Office of Health and Safety are assisting in the matter to identify the source of the outbreak. These 3 are the first rabies-positive bats at the national park since 2019. 2 individuals are indicted on federal charges in relation to the death of 14-year-old McKenna Wendell. Her body was found in Brookings in mid-March. Mark Milk, Wendell's uncle, is charged with 5 counts, possessing and distributing cocaine. Court records say the death of Wendell resulted from the use of cocaine, possessing and distributing a substance with THC, transporting a minor with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, and 2 charges related to tampering with objects that could be used as evidence. John Rognes is also charged. According to the Department of Corrections, he's currently being held in the state penitentiary. He's charged with conspiring to conceal objects that could be used as evidence and acting as an accessory after the fact to help Milk avoid the charges. That's according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Iowa. Officials say a trial will be conducted at federal courts in Iowa. South Dakotans can learn the science behind large feedlot operations at an event later this month. South Dakota State University is holding an environmental training session on Tuesday, June 23rd, in Huron. The session is for owners of concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. But the public is encouraged to attend. CAFOs often face pushback over environmental and odor concerns. Bob Toller is a swine specialist with SDSU Extension. He says training sessions like this one, which are required for CAFO owners, teach ways to reduce environmental impact. The hope is to add a new perspective.
What works well for a 1,000-animal unit are going to be the same things that are important for a 500 or 100-animal unit operation, because everybody wants to make sure that, first of all, we're good neighbors, and that, secondly, that we take care of the environment.
Details about the training session are available on the SDSU Extension's website. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News. And be sure to visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thank you for listening.